I'm Henry Diaz.
And we are your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, and you can also find us on iTunes. So, Henry, how are you this week?
This week I'm doing pretty good. I had my performance with La Chamaca over at Penny's Open Mic on Tuesday. It went good. The performance was flawless. I had came up with a skit, the dance routine the night before, and I executed it flawlessly the next day. It was a simple song, that I did by Rosemary Clooney called Without Love. It's an original. It's very unique. It's hard to find. And luckily, I found it for La Chamaca. And everyone received it really well, except that they received it very late in the night. I got there, and it was supposed to be like, from what I was told, it was supposed to be first come, first serve. You put your name down, and you'll get called up as, you know, people come in, and you signed up for the open mic. But that night, supposedly, they did it differently, and their theme was chaos. So they took everybody's name down and put it in a bucket, and they randomly, well, Penny, the person hosting it, picked out people's names randomly. And then, according to the way that she picked them out, is the way they fell on the list. And there was like 35 people there, and I was like number 33. So, yeah, 7 times 33, that's like 4 hours later.
Wow.
But luckily, luckily somebody dropped out like at number 25 or 28 or something, and she bumped me up there. And people came to see me, and they couldn't wait that long. So, you know, Penny, you have to, if you're listening, you have to do your open mic differently, because you're going to lose out on customers. I mean, my friends, they left early. They were like, they're pretty bummed, and I was pissed. But, you know, I said I was there. This is supposed to be my debut night, and I don't know who's going to be in the audience, but let me go out there and do what I got to do. At least get it, you know, capture it on video. I got it on video. I'll be posting it up before the podcast posts. So whoever's listening, you know, if you're interested in seeing that performance, it's going to be on our blog. Other than that,
well, at least it's your first performance, so, you know, you got it out of your system, so at least you know. And nobody's first performance ever goes off as planned, you know. There's always some type of problem or issue or something, you know.
Oh, my God, there was issues left and right. I mean, in the beginning, it was, you know, I had a great day. When I got into the city, that's when the whole, you know, everything started just falling apart. Like, you know, my friend was supposed to meet me in the village, and then she wasn't in the village. And then I was going to go and you know, see if Lucky Chang's had any opening acts. So I decided to put on my makeup before I went over there. You know, I had my whole outfit together. I put on my heels when I was in the city. I started applying my makeup like a block away from Lucky Chang's, and I put down my tripod that I bring with me so I can have my friend record me, my friend Nandi. And, of course, after I put on my makeup, I take all my gear with me, and I go to Lucky Chang's, and then I get to the performance space and realize that I don't have my tripod with me.
Oh, my God.
So in drag, I had to walk back, sashay as quickly as possible, 10 blocks to go get my tripod. And, of course, when I get there, my tripod wasn't there. I went over to Lucky Chang's. Yeah, I went over to Lucky Chang's to see if they had it. And they gave me attitude, like, for the third time. Because the first time I was there looking for, you know, a gig, supposedly they used to have an open mic there. The bitch of a bartender, she was like, nope, we don't have one. I mean, we don't have an open mic anymore. And no, we don't have any openings for opening acts. Third time I was over there looking for my... Yes! And third time I was there looking for, actually, they gave me attitude four times. When I got there to get my tripod, first of all, they were doing some drag performance, like some show that was like a ripoff off of RuPaul's Drag You. So watered down and so cheesy, I have to tell you. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. It was like they had like about five people who were eating there and participating in their drag performance, where they took three women and made them over and put on these like silly wigs and like really cheap outfits that weren't tailored very well, and made them into like Drag You performance, and they were parading them around their little eating area and their first level floor. It was cheesy. I mean, if you were there, you would have been mortified. Like, really? This is Lucky Chang's? Anyway, so I'm looking for my tripod, and this guy comes out, and he looks at me like he's really bothered by me. And I'm asking him for the tripod. He's like, didn't you ask the bartender? And I was like, well, isn't she up there doing her show, whatever it is? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I don't know, I guess he felt bad for me or something. You know, like 5 minutes later, he's asking this guy who's sitting at the bar, who winds up working there, and he asks him if he's seen the tripod. He was like, and the guy there that he asked, he says, yeah, I have a tripod in my pants. So, like, they're making fun of me left and right, and I'm like, you're making fun of the lady with the beard? You bitches. Okay, when she gets famous, we're going to see who's laughing. And I'm going to be telling the story somewhere on David Letterman or something. Watch out. You just wait.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and then, but, you know, the second day, I mean, that first day, when I got into the city also, because when I was walking over to St. Mark's, to the performance space, everyone was looking at me like, oh, shit, who's she? And I love the attention and everything, you know. I was working it with the heels on, you know, New York City pavement, my old stomping ground, East Village. And some couple, like, you know, they see me, like, from far away coming towards them, and they don't move. Like, they're waiting for me to, like, fall into the garbage that was right next to them as I was passing them. And I scream at them. I was like, excuse me, somebody's walking next to you. I mean, like, this is, like, typical, like, you know, first day, like, first debut drama that happened, I think.
Sorry to, you know, I think that's, you know, that's, you know, that's New York.
Mm-mm.
You either love it or you hate it.
Oh, and I did my nails, too. And everywhere I went when I was, you know, out of drag, of course, everyone was staring at my nails like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. And I'm like, really? You never seen a guy with nails before in the city?
Well, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's not so much, you know, that, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, it's not that shocking to them. But, you know, I'm sure because you see, I mean, you know, people have seen more shocking things here in New York. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's just a different kind of drag they're probably not used to, you know?
Mm-hmm. How was your week?
My week was really busy, and, you know, now it's, you know, over, so now, you know, it's kind of, but it was fun. I mean, it was a crazy kind of, you know, busy, fashion, intense week.
Mm. What was your highlight?
Highlight was, going to, you know, one of, like, the, you know, this, like, after magazine party and had a really good time, you know, had, like, you know, open bar, which was really nice, and had drinks and, you know, dance and met some interesting people. So that was fun. So, you know, Fashion Week is always, you know, crazy and chaotic, and but, you know, can be you know, it's fun. When all the beautiful people come out and everybody thinks that they're glamorous and, you know, all that good stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah. And I also had a friend in town who was visiting from Switzerland. So I hung out with him as well and got Yeah, I had like a bit too much to drink, and I was just like, oh my god, like, what's going on? So, yeah.
Okay. Very. So, it sounds like you got into trouble a couple of times. Okay. All right.
I got into trouble a couple of times. Yeah, I did. I did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun week. So there you go.
Okay. Well, let's get this podcast on the go. Let's see. We have Tip for Tap, which is our segment where we go back and forth, debating and maybe some cat fights on people, places, and things in our gay community or issues. And this week we have 9 signs your husband is gay, okay? And
I saw this thing and I thought it was really funny, and then I also thought it was like, you know, not only is it your husband, but it could be your boyfriend. But then I also thought, like, you know, are these the signs that make someone gay? Like, is this the, you know, the standard of how do you know someone is gay? And so I just thought it was really kind of, you know, of course it's something that, you know, the Christian organization, you know, put out, but it was just kind of funny that this was kind of, you know, this is of course how they, you know, how they see us. So, you know, I would think, but is this what makes a gay person?
So, well, let's get the show on the road. Let's go through them.
Yeah.
Why don't
we?
The first.
I mean, yeah. Okay. So go ahead.
And the first one is he has a gym membership, but no interest in sports. Okay.
I guess there is this, you know, whole, you know, thing about, you know, the gay guys in the gym, and I guess that, you know, that is, you know, very true, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, have you ever hooked up with someone at the gym?
I have, actually. You know, I've had that memberships. I mean, I have, like, no real big interest in sports at all, except for martial arts, volleyball, soccer, which are, you know, things that I've participated in the past. But I'm not a sports watcher, so, you know, I'm gay either way. I mean, like, if your husband was into the gym a lot and, you know, and manicured, and he's obsessive about his looks, and like this Huffington Post article says here, you know, if it says here, if your husband comes home from the gym exhausted, it could also just be a result of working out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I do think that there is, you know, now, you know, straight men are even more, you know, are kind of that metrosexual and starting to really take care of themselves. There are a lot of men who even do plastic surgery who are straight, you know, who are, you know, like designer clothes and that kind of stuff. And kind of, you know, there is that kind of fine line now of, you know, men who just might just work out but might not be a total, like, jock. So it's really hard to gauge, you know?
It's true, but I think also is that if he's always crying exhaustion and he's always at the gym and, you know, he takes more than, you know, like if he's at the gym more than 3 hours, he's definitely doing something else. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Come on.
I mean, gay guys do have, I mean, we do have a little bit more of the opportunity to hook up at the gym because, you know, it's just kind of the whole culture. It happens, you know. You see,
I haven't,
you know.
Well, I haven't done.
You see something walking by and you're like,
Yeah, the shower is all.
Your mouth starts to water a little bit, and then next thing you know, you're on your knees.
I've seen it happen where like in crunch gyms where the guys were like slipping to the other guy's shower stall and they're like fucking around and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
and it happens in the steam room. You know,
I've never been to the gym. I've never had a gym membership or anything like that, so I don't really know.
I've never done it that way. You know, I've met the person at the gym and we've gone over to their place. That's about it. But okay. At the gym itself, no. I mean, but it's possible though that, you know, that this can happen. But the way that they're illustrating it here, definitely not.
Okay. Well, the next one is he has a love of pop culture, including Glee and Golden Girls. I think that is so wrong. Like, what, you know, like, kid, so, yeah, I mean, I guess that is kind of gay. But damn.
Well, Golden Girls, yes. Glee, I don't know. But if it goes hand in hand, then I would say a definite yes.
That what? What did you say? If they go hand in hand?
Yeah, if he's watching Glee and Golden Girls, and those are his favorite shows, or shows like that, I would definitely, you know, go along with what they're saying here, that there is a hidden gay man or woman inside your partner.
Yeah. I don't think my brother watches Glee or the Golden Girls, but he definitely has a love of pop culture. Like, you know, I think that's one of the things with me and my brother. Well, and also sometimes, you know, my brother always has like that fine line of, you know, people think that he's gay or that kind of thing. But he definitely has a love of pop culture, and he definitely that's kind of part of how we communicate. Like, we reference things and our jokes, or we talk about all kinds of things that's going on. And so he knows what's happening, but he is obviously, he's straight and he has a wife with two kids. So, you know, there's always the exception.
I thought that your brother was bisexual.
No, he's not. He's not bisexual. No, well, at least he's never told me about his bisexuality, you know. But we've talked about, you know, him and the idea of like, oh, maybe I could be, or there was a time where he had thought about it, but then also like the idea of having sex with a man was just not appealing to him.
Oh,
but
okay.
He's never had, but whether or not he's had a gay experience, but then I think always the verdict is still kind of out on that one. But I mean, for now he's straight. But he, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It would surprise me if he was like, "I want to be a woman." That would surprise me. But it wouldn't really surprise me if he was gay. But so anyway, the next one is quite funny. He travels frequently to big cities or Asia. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, like he's a rice queen.
Well, I know that there's always, you know, especially like in Thailand and stuff like that, and you know, I know that there's all these kind of like prostitution and like young people and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, I don't really know about this.
Well,
I don't know.
It's a geographic relocation. So like, they would feel like, you know, they're far away from home and they can be themselves. They're, you know, or the person that they would like to be at home.
Oh, okay.
I can see that. Especially, like, if you really, you know, if you have, like, you know, an instinct that, you know, it's kind of like Brokeback Mountain when...
Yeah, but they weren't in the big city. They were in, you know...
Well, you know, he was always going on fishing trips. Heath Ledger's character, he was always going on fishing trips. And his wife started suspecting it. And, like, you know, and it was just for that one guy, you know? And it was always in that, you know, far away from there. And it was always that Brokeback Mountain. You and that dong gun, whatever, Jack Nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that one is a little, I don't really get it. But, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, moving on.
What's the next one?
He's extroverted about his bare chest in public, okay? He's extroverted?
I was like, what? I don't want to get that one.
Standing shirtless in a crowd and peppering people. It says here that last example sounds less like the behavior of a homosexual man and more like actions of a mentally disturbed vagrant.
Yeah, but exactly. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I see straight guys walk around shirtless all the time, you know, and like all these, like, you know, Guido type, you know, Jersey Shore type guys who are like, you know, meatheads, and they're like, oh, it's so hot, let me take my shirt off and show my sex. Like, I don't really think it's all only gay guys that do that. So I don't know.
Dismissed.
He wears clothes that are too tight or too trendy. I mean, yeah, but then, it's also, especially being in New York and, you know, and living in Brooklyn, and, you know, you see a lot of those hipsters, and those hipsters, they're wearing those really tight skinny jeans, and they're, you know, wearing, you know, that whole stuff, you know, like, is he gay, is he straight, or he whatever, and then he's like, and then the next thing you know, his girlfriend shows up, and then they're holding hands. So it's like, you never, you know, there's certain types of guys that, you know, that kind of artsy, you know, rocker/rocker, you know, kind of dude who wear those kind of clothes, and you don't really know, my gaydar is always, you know, confused. So,
sure.
And then there's also, like, you know, those, you know, straight guys who wear, like, muscle shirts and, you know, like, those Dominican guys, you know, too, who wear, like, those, like, tight T-shirts, and that's their growing out outfit. But, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is starting to border along, like, you know, signs of people who could be bisexuals.
Yeah, but I know it's just by, you know, it's borderline, you know, just kind of like stereotypical of what they think gay people are. And of course, you know, some of these things are, you know, of course, stereotypes are, you know, even though it's stereotyping, it always seems very, that's a negative, gives a negative connotation. But of course, some stereotypes are true, and they are, or they do exist, but it doesn't mean that every gay person, you know, fits this one mold, or every straight person, or every man, you know, or every woman, or any woman, you know, for that matter. But it's just funny.
I think the next one is definitely...
The next one is really funny. He's sadly sarcastic, ironic around his friends. And I was like, wow. And they use the word sassy.
Sassy. Sassy friend. Your sassy friend. Your sassy husband.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely think this is dead on.
That one is really funny.
Michelle Bachman's husband? Come on. He's definitely a sassy friend.
I've heard about that. I've heard about him. I've heard about people thinking that her husband is gay. It would be so funny. And I would love to be
have
that
you
flat.
Ever... You should hear him talk.
I would love to be a fly on the wall of them having sex. Like, I don't even think they sleep in the same bed. Like, no, because I would just... Because she seems so uptight and crazy that... You know, I was just, you know, there's certain things that even though how disgusting they sound, you know, you just want to be able to witness it just so you can be like, oh my God, you know?
Well, Google them. Google Michelle Bachman and I forget the husband's name, but Google them and put in sex. I'm sure you're going to find a lot of cartoonist illustrations and people, because it's also an intrigue of, you know, people online of what goes on behind the bedroom between both of them. It's been brought up on Dan Savage's podcast. I've seen things on Tumblr now and then, and like where Michelle Bachman is like, you know, spanking him and he's like sucking on somebody's dick or something. I don't know. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. You need to like Google that if you're really interested in what happens, or prospectively what happens behind closed doors.
That's crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay. The next one is that he's more interested in men than women in pornos.
Well.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, if a guy makes a comment about, like, another guy's penis or whatever, that doesn't seem like he's gay. But, I mean, of course, yes, if he's turned on by it, yes, of course. I mean, you know, yeah, that could be a sign. But then we also talked about, you know, in our last podcast about bisexuality, about guys who, you know, when they were showing the videos, they were more turned on by men, you know, that they found in the study that they were attracted to both. So, you know, you never know. So,
next.
He takes on sudden heavy drinking, like he's all of a sudden becomes an alcoholic. It's like, is that what gay people say? I mean, I understand in the turmoil that he's going through of, you know, coming out or dealing with these feelings, but, like, right away he becomes, like, an alcoholic.
I think this is classic, though. I really do. I really think this is classic. I think that, you know, a lot of gay people, when they finally find out that they're gay and they don't want to be with their wives and, you know, I'm at a dead end, of course, they're, you know, they're going to find some comfort in drinking, and it releases their inhibitions enough, especially when they're with their buddies,
that would make sense, and also, you know, but there's so many. Wait, I definitely think, you know, the way of, like, releasing inhibitions, yeah, because, I mean, you know, and you could be kind of nervous, especially for the first time, you know, kind of thing. You might need, you know, a few shots of Patron or whiskey or something to kind of, you know, make you feel a little bit more relaxed. But, yeah, okay, I guess I can see that.
Next.
He's overly critical about his appearance, his appearance as well as the appearance of his home. Does that mean?
No, I don't think so. I don't, you know, like, I've met plenty of straight guys who are just, you know, they're
straight men are insecure as gay men or more. Yeah, I mean, they might not be as vocal as women are, you know, in terms of, like, doing it fat or blah, blah, that kind of thing. But I think straight men are critical about their bodies or about their penis size or about those kind of things as, you know, women are about their bodies, you know. So, I don't know necessarily about the home situation, but there might be some guys who are just really anal, and they're, no pun intended, who are just, like, who are very neat and who are, you know, like things in order, and that's just the way they are. So, and they're a little bit uptight. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're gay.
No. So. I agree with that. I mean, I've met, working at Banana Republic down in Soho, almost about 10 years ago, I met guys, and so the Soho store, or Soho itself, is, you know, another gay artistic area where, you know, at that time, at least, very much androgynous, like, people were really into their androgyny, and you'll find it all the time, and all sexualities, you know, the person, you know, this one guy that I had the hots for, I could have sworn, and my radar would just scream, gay, 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 but, you know, he really liked women, and he really was hard for women, so, you know, it was just me pushing that fantasy, you know, over and over again in my head of sucking his cock, and seeing his bare chest, he was really meticulous about his appearance and looking good and looking presentable for a woman, because that's what he was attracting and trying to attract. And Banana Republic just did that for him, and gave him that appearance, and that's why he was working there, because he liked the discounts and whatever. So, yeah. And I've met plenty of men like that, straight men.
I found, especially and, like, you know, in retail, and you see that all the time. And I've also seen, like, you know, seen straight men go into, like, the women's section and try on women's jeans because they fit different, they fit better because of the fit. And I've seen many straight men buy them without any problems. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that I have never seen.
Yeah, I've seen it. So, I mean, you definitely see, because there's certain things that, I mean, of course, like with jeans, you can't really tell the difference if it's a woman's, well, I guess some jeans you can tell it's a woman's jean or a men's jean, that kind of thing. But, you know, when skinny jeans were out, when they first started coming out, and it became really popular. A lot of straight men would, you're doing visuals at H&M, the visual manager there, and we didn't have a lot of styles, but it had a lot of styles in the women's section. There was a lot of straight guys that would go into the women's section and try on the skinny jeans.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't really, you know, there is that fine line, and it's really hard to tell nowadays, you know. I mean, of course, there are certain things that are, yes, if you, you know, there are certain things that I guess there are signs, but I don't really know if these 9 signs that your husband is are gay are, like, true, you know, telltale signs of, like, oh, this what means that he's gay.
Well,
if he does know the words to the, you know, the Golden Girl, you know, opening song, you know, if he starts singing "Thank You for Being a Friend," you know, then maybe, you know, start snooping around. I don't know, but I don't know.
Okay, well, I think it's a wrap for this section. It's Let's leave everyone else with some music. We'll post this link on our show notes.
Alright, so we'll see you later.
Pace the room every time you leave. Fall apart because you're all I need. You make me late for work. Make me late for church. So hard to leave. So bring on the weekend. Bring it on. Bring on the weekend. So bring it on. Bring on the weekend. Bring it on. Bring on the weekend.
Oral Fix. where that was Class Actress, and the name of the song is Weekend. Class Actress is making her second debut on the podcast. We used her before. So anyway, it's a good track. Hope you enjoyed it. So now we're going to move on to our next segment, which is the main drag. And this is where we have a topic and just kind of have at it and state our opinions. And this week is based on, taken from a new movie that is starring Anna Faris, the hilarious Anna Faris, who is in The House Bunny, which I highly recommend. It's a hoot. Anyway.
The House Bunny?
The House Bunny, yeah. It's really funny. It's about this. She plays this Playboy bunny who gets kicked out, and then she becomes the mother, the house mother of a sorority. And they're, of course, they're all like misfits. It's with her and like Emma Stone. It's a really funny movie. Anyway, so in this, her new movie is called What's Your Number? And in this movie, she goes on a quest. She finds out that she's had sex with 19 people, and they tell her that if she had sex with 20 people, she won't be married. So she goes on a quest to find love and to maybe some of the people that she's had sex with. She decides to look them up and to see what they're doing now and to see if maybe one of those people, you know, could be the one. So it also stars the hottie Chris Evans. So that's, you know, if you like Anna Faris, which is enough to see it, but Chris Evans is really hot also. So that gives you something to, you know, some eye candy to watch. But anyway, it got me thinking, like, you know, I don't know if it's the same for women as it is for men. Of course, there's always a double standard. But, you know, it got me, you know, at least a good topic. You know, have you ever felt ashamed of the number of people you slept with, Henry?
I used to, yeah, in the past. Not anymore. I mean, now I know better that, you know.
Now you own your slutness.
Oh! Now I feel no shame, okay? It's not like I have a crown that says Queen Slut. You can have one too, you know. Where's yours? I know yours is nicely decorated.
So you have no shame about the people you slept with?
No, I do. You know, there have been some shameful moments. I'm sorry?
About that, not really the people, but the number of people.
About the number of people? I would say, no, I don't. I think, you know, I now that I'm thinking about it, I really don't. I have no shame. I have shame about certain situations I was placed with these people and the people that I've chosen. That I do. I wouldn't go back and revisit them. Those people, that's for sure. And I wouldn't think of doing anything different. I mean, for example, there was this one guy that I hooked up with once. And, you know, we were in the East Village, and we went all the way to the Henry Hudson River. And we made out and had sex in the kids' park. And I'm like, and it was a dead of night, of course, and we were both drunk. And I'm like, what am I doing here with this person? It's raining. The person is doing, like, a lot of poppers, and I'm, like, disgusted beyond belief at myself, and I, you know, that is, like, no. I mean, I don't think this...
Good, at least?
The sex was okay, but it was just, like, beyond belief, something I did that I thought I never would do. So, I wouldn't, you know, I mean, this whole idea about this movie just kind of freaks me out, like... What's wrong with her? Why did she want us to go revisit these 20 people? I mean, really? Is she trying to find her love of her life? Is this what it is? It's like this Sleeping Beauty thing?
Because, you know, she wants to follow love. She wants to, you know, she, like, before she, you know, has sex, before she has have sex with number 20, she decides to go on this quest. And, well, actually, Chris Evans, you know, they kind of partner up, and he actually suggests to her, well, why don't you, you know, start looking at some of the people that, you know, you dated and see if any of them is, you know, worthy. So it actually, you know, it actually is kind of funny. She does this, like, really funny thing where she, or at least in the preview, the movie's not out yet, but she does this in the preview. She does this, like, fake British accent, and she's like, and all of a sudden, I started doing Borat, and then, you know, it was funny. So,
okay.
I love Anna Faris, like, she's hilarious. But, you know, I mean, it's something to, you know, think about as far as, you know, there is a double standard as far as, you know, men and women. Like, you know, for women, if they sleep around, you know, they're sluts, they're whores, there's all this stuff. But for guys, you know, it's kind of expected. We're like, we're the bad daddy, we're the player. We don't have the same kind of negative connotation.
I don't know, because in the gay community, it's different. It's like, it seems like most gay men are the sluts, and the lesbians aren't.
I think that, you know, I don't know if you watched The Real L Word on Showtime, but those lesbians, there's some lesbians that are freaks, too. I never watched that show before. You know, there is, I think for us, you know, sex is, you know, it's available. I mean, we have so many ways of getting, you know, whether it's online or even on our phones, you know, or even at a bar. We can have sex anywhere. So, of course, you know, as straight men didn't have to wine and dine or whatever, then I'm sure they would be having a lot more sex, too, you know. But, you know, I never used to feel guilty about my number. But the only thing I always felt guilty when I didn't remember if I didn't know the person's name, then that's when I felt like a slut. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know this person's name, but yet I have sex with them. Like, that's kind of bad, you know, you're like, at least you should know the person's name, you know?
I agree.
If they weren't memorable
and, or like me, like I had those situations with those guys that just don't want to remember that night, you don't want to remember those names.
but these are people, I don't remember their name because I didn't know their name. I don't think or at least I didn't remember their name. Like, or just because it was kind of like a one-off thing, you know, it wasn't like, you know, maybe they said their name and I just didn't remember. But, you know, I remember the experience, but I don't remember their name. That's when I feel a little like, oh, my God, you know.
You just remember the goodies.
I just remember the goodies, exactly. But, you know, so you would not want to revisit anyone to see, you know, maybe time has passed, you know, maybe you weren't right for them, you know, when you were younger, but maybe now as an adult, maybe, you know, they might have grown up, they've matured, you know, you wouldn't want to see anybody on your list to see what they're up to now.
Wait, are we turning into like Dr. Phil's show here or something? What's going on?
No, well, that's the premise of the movie, so that's why I'm asking.
Well, Jesus. Actually, I would. This is one guy, Christopher, who I spoke about actually last week's podcast. He's the guy who I went to visit when 9/11 happened, and, you know, we figured that we needed to go off and go home or find, you know, somewhere to stay other than work until we could go home. So the first person I thought of right away, which was, you know, I believe in soulmates, and I believe that, you know, we all have soulmates, and we have more than one, and they can be friends, lovers, you know, families, whatever. So Christopher is one of my love, you know, romantic soulmates, and it's clearly evident to me, at least. I don't know if it is to him, but I thought of him instantly, and I was like, you know, let me go, you know, over to, well, let me call him and see how he's doing. Go see how, you know, I don't know what the fuck came over my head, but it's like, you know, death is upon us, and this could be the end of days. And I went to Christopher, and, you know, we had like 20 minutes or half an hour, whatever, at his place, and we talked, we caught up for a bit, and it had been like months since we had last saw each other. And the last time we saw each other, we got heavily drunk and talked about being boyfriends and having something steady. And there was some things that I agree with his lifestyle that I just couldn't get with. And he needed somebody to get with that. So I was like, no. And it never happened.
When you say lifestyle, what does that mean? Like,
he was doing, like, some illegal shit.
Oh, okay.
So I, you know, that is one person still that I hold like a small flame for, that I'm not expecting anything right now, because the last time I saw him, at Chelsea after 9/11, like 5 years later. And, you know, this always happens between us when there's a period, a gap, you know, where we haven't seen each other. It's like we look at each other like star-crossed lovers, like from across the room, and we're just gazing at each other. We're like, who's that? And he's like, who's that? And then after 5 minutes or 10 minutes of really trying too hard to figure out who the fuck that person is and why they're so familiar and why they're so attractive, it's like, oh, it's you. And this time around, he did that, like, snub, like, snarl of a look, like, oh, it's you. Let me turn around, give you the cold shoulder. And he did. And I felt really sad. I cried about it. But, you know, I was there with a friend at that Starbucks in Chelsea, and we talked about that for a while. I got over it, you know, I let him go. And, you know, if there was anybody I would revisit again, I had an opportunity, only if I had the opportunity, not because I wanted to go back and say, let's see if Christopher is feeling like, you know, Henry today or this year or whatever. No, I wouldn't do that. But I would definitely, you know, have the opportunity, and it's presented to me, and like, you know, this last time, you know, the universe puts him right there in front of me, all about timing and everything, then I would, you know, I would strike up a conversation and feel it out. I would. I definitely would. For him, I would. Anybody else, there'll be like maybe one other person, Jim, who later on told me his real name, which was Mark, but now I always know him as Jim, and his name is really Marcus, actually, not Mark. Anyway, I mean, he was really in love with me, and I could have been in love with him if he didn't put that love on me so intensely. But nice guy, very giving, maybe too much giving at fault, but I would definitely go visit him. How about you?
Say that again?
How about you? Do you have anybody that you would visit?
No.
What are you doing over there? Are you, like, fixing your panties or something?
No,
looking in the mirror again?
I actually did that whole like revisiting thing. I did, you know, with an ex to
Ooh.
See, because I had just like, you know, broken up with, you know, an ex-boyfriend, and I was just feeling like, you know, like, why am I always dating the same type of guy over and over again?
Mm.
And I felt like, you know, we had a bad breakup, and even though I really loved him, you know, we were not right for each other. And so when me and this other guy broke up, I ended up looking him up to see, like, maybe if I have closure, maybe that, you know, the relationship gods will look, you know, down on me and, you know, and give me someone good. And so I ended up looking him up, and we met up, and, you know, we had conversation with, like, old times. Like, we, you know, we had a lot of things in common, and, you know, from music to just so much that, you know, it felt like that part felt, when we were talking on the phone and just kind of catching up, that part felt, you know, like old times.
Mm.
And it felt new and kind of promising. But then when we actually met up and we were hanging out, I saw a lot of the old kind of craziness that he had, you know, was showing up, and I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. So I ended up leaving and not, you know, and it was kind of weird. We met at our old department. So it brought back like a lot of, we brought back that, like, you know, it brought back like a lot of memories and all
that. He was living there?
He was still living there, yeah.
Oh.
So it just brought back like a lot of, you know, memories and it was just like, oh God, I can't do this. But, you know, I like to say never say never in terms of people that I dated, you know, I like how I've tried, you know, with Stall Guy, you know, I tried to do a act two. But yeah, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and you know, you never know. But I don't think I would go necessarily on a quest for it, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, I think now, you know, I don't think my sex number really, you know, I don't really have any guilt or any problems with it. But there's certain people I probably wish, you know, I didn't have sex with or that kind of thing. But, you know, I think, you know, when you look at the number of people I've had sex with versus how old I am, you know, it's really not, it kind of balances out. You know, it can be a little bit overwhelming when you look at it first. You're like, damn, I'm a slut. But then when you think about, like, oh, I have this many people have sex with this many people per year or whatever, it kind of, you know, makes a little bit more sense. It doesn't seem as, you know, bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, and I don't really think that you should have, there should be shame about sex or sex. You know, there should be any shame around, you know, sexuality and, you know, sex between two people consisting of adults. There shouldn't, you shouldn't have shame about it.
No.
So I don't really have any, you know, issues around my number or anything like that. But it would be nice to just be able to be taken off the market and just have that one, of course. But, you know, until then, I'll keep on trucking.
Well, you go keep chucking, Big Mama, Mac Daddy. you know what I just got, like, a visual on? Is that scene at Pee Wee Herman?
Large
Pee-wee
March.
Herman's movie? Yeah, Large March.
You're a hot mess. Oh my god!
Oh my god! I am. Oh my god! It's so funny.
You're a hot mess. So
he gets into her truck, and he's like,
So anyway, do you have any final thoughts on this topic?
Well, you know, you hit a couple of points there. You know, about not having shame about revolving sex, and I think. This is really important to talk about, and maybe we can table this off for another podcast, but, you know, shame around sex is what kept me more inhibited even after I came out as a gay youth, a young man, and which some, you know, it went, you know, into my adulthood and, my early adulthood, and it was very unhealthy for me, one, because I was scared to talk to guys at bars because of it, because I was ashamed of my sexuality and the fact that I wanted, like, the hottest guy in the bar that, you know, I thought was attractive. So in order for me to talk to that guy, I would have to, like, slosh the hell out of myself, drink so much that, yeah, that I was incoherent and the guy would walk away from me. And that's because I grew up with this whole thing, this whole concept, which is a very straight, heterosexual, you know, Catholic, you know, guilt you up, hit you over the head with a big fat Bible type of guilt and shame about sex. That, you know, this is wrong. You know, what I'm doing is wrong. You know, God gave me this gift only to procreate, which is, you know, over the years, the recent years, I have gotten over that. You know, this is not, you know, this is a gift from God, not only to procreate, but also to really, as you said, and which is very smart, have consensual sex with someone else and to really bond with them, to exchange energy, to, you know, and that's why I'm really big on, like, not so much on the monogamy thing, but on, you know, when I'm having a one-night stand with somebody, that is more than the regular one-night stand when people are wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and see you later, and maybe I'll guess your name later. Not tonight. Or where are you from, or, you know? So, like, those two points are, you know, I would definitely harp on, you know, for people who are listening to us today. This is, you know, I think we should really table this off for another podcast. I think that's another episode of that we could talk a lot more. I would love to talk a lot more about. But the other thing is that something else that you touched on, which, you know, following shame, is really wanting to have sex with multiple partners and just fulfilling that, you know, and having these fantasies. I think you were kind of bordering on that topic there, but that's what I picked up, and I think that is completely healthy. Today I live a very satisfying life because I live out some of my fantasies, or at least I have no qualms about talking to somebody and making a fool of myself if that's what comes about out of me talking to somebody that I like and I want to fuck, and that's all I want from them. But, you know, going about it a nice way, and of course, you know, remembering their name or whatever. And I used to say something about like having a balanced amount of relationships and people that you slept with. I don't have that. I never really had that. I have really short relationships that's, you know, spanned from 3 to 6 months. The longest was Glenn, 3 years, and that was mostly sexual. Just because we both were on different emotional levels, that, you know, the sex was like the real communication point. But, you know, I've had like maybe 7 relationships since I was 16. So I'm 38 now. You do the math. I think that's healthy for you. But I think that's the norm for a lot of people out there, that we can't balance that out. And I think it's perfectly fine. You know, I looked at that one time and I kind of felt some shame about that. And again, that was the mentality in my head that, you know, I misused my sexuality and I shouldn't be gay. I should really be straight. And I've gone off the deep end, so to speak. And it's not, you know, you don't go, the only time that I know that you go off the deep end and it's unhealthy is when I'm obsessing and I'm compulsive about it. And I don't care about anybody's feelings but mine. And, those are my final thoughts. I don't think that, I don't have any shame about my sexuality anymore or about having sex and the number of people that I've had sex with.
Okay.
And then nobody else should.
Exactly. Don't have any shame. Don't have any shame.
So I guess that's a wrap, huh?
I guess that is a wrap. So, as always, we're going to leave you with some music, and we'll be back with our next segment.
Okie doke. And welcome back. That was Planning to Rock from the, the name of the group is Planning to Rock. The name of the song is The Breaks, and it's the Telepath remix. That was pretty funky, cooly, woolly, whatever. Now we're going into our section Back into the Closet, where we keep throwing things into the closet that does not belong in our gay queer community. People, places, and things. And this week we're going to start off with Drew again. Drew, what's your item that you're throwing into the closet this week?
Well, I'm actually going to throw in a person this week. I was watching, the other night I was watching One Girl, Five Gays. And we've talked about them, several times on, in our podcast. And there's this one guy in particular, his name is Andrew, and he is just such a biatch. Like, some of them I could see, like, oh, maybe, if I, my brother lives in Canada, if I ever saw them, out or, they seem like cool guys or whatever. Some of them seem cool, and some of them I'm like, oh, But he is just, like, everything that he says is just so, I don't know if it's just for, like, shock value or whatever, but he is just such, a asshole. Like, he is a real asshole. And he just says lots of, like, just, stupid things and...
But he's cute.
He's what?
He's cute.
I don't find him attractive at all. And I think he would be cute until he spoke. Like, and once he opens up his mouth, I don't find him attractive at all. Like, he's just so catty and just so, like, and he always has, like, that gay face of just, like, I'm just, like, the baddest bitch ever. I'm just, like, fuck you. Like, everything about him, he just annoys the shit out of me. And every time he's on, like, I love to see, like, some of the other, cast members fight with him, because I find myself yelling at the TV and, like, see him there.
Really?
With him. it makes me, like, oh, God, thank God, like, they don't like this guy. But he's a real asshole. And
why? And he keeps coming on, I guess. I mean, they like him because he presents some type of, rebel rousing quality and everyone else to make them excited enough to make the show exciting.
I guess so. I don't know. But he's just such a, I don't know. I just don't like him. Like, he's not the type of gay that he's like, we mentioned, these kind of, like, bitchy kind of queens or whatever, and he's that person. Like, he would be the poster child for that group of people.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, he's just really, the things that he says are really rude, and he's like, oh, I don't like fat people, or I don't like this, or blah, blah, blah. Like,
well, I have witnessed that side of him. A couple episodes. I mean, I haven't been watching the show as much as you have, but I know from, the stuff that I have watched with him in it, he has been very negative, and he's like, he can be very fierce. So,
he's just a really tacky queen, and I don't like him. So, I want to throw him into the closet and lock away the key, and he's just annoying. He annoys the shit out of me. So that's my suggestion for this week. And you?
I really don't have any item this week. I mean, my whole week this week has been all about peace, love, and hair grease. I mean, this week was somewhat seemingly challenging for me, in that I could have just lost control over situations because of my anger. So and it's really important for me, especially to keep my creativity, to not lose my temper and go into that dark space of, anger. So, nothing's really annoyed me. I mean, there was this one kid on the train, who started like, stalking me on the 7th train when I was going back home from Queens, at the end of my day. and I was on my way to Port Authority, and me all of a sudden shot from one side of the train to my side and sat directly in front of me and started staring me down. And he had his like BlackBerry phone on him, and he was like talking to himself. Like, he wasn't singing. Like, you know, I had my headphones on and I was listening to my music, and you know, I saw that he was like talking, and I know he wasn't singing, but he kept on looking at me and kept on looking at my nails, and he kept on looking at me and just like Googling at me. And that was so annoying. And if anybody could throw into the closet would be somebody like him. But I knew that there was something that was not mentally right about him. So I wouldn't throw somebody like that into the closet. And, you know, I just kind of like said to myself, like, you know, I really feel bad for him instead of being angry. I mean, I had to watch myself also because I had like two bags with me. I don't know what he was capable of because he was also twitching, going back and forth, and he just didn't seem right. And the way that he was staring at me so intently, like he wanted to get into my head, like, and I just was like giving him the cold shoulder. You know, I turned my bitch on. I mean, as much as, you know, as possible, I just wasn't in that space this week to find anything wrong with anybody. I mean, he was the only person really this week that really got that close to making me really like not like somebody in the gay community or around me.
Okay. Well, next week, you know, I'm sure there'll be something. So on that note, do you have any other closing remarks?
Closing remarks. Well, besides the fact that a new iPhone 5 is coming, it's around the corner. I just can't wait because I think it's coming in Sprint and I want it. And I don't know what it is. I mean, there's been like sources that confirmed that it's definitely going to be a wider screen and it's going to be larger than the last few ones. I can't wait to see it. I mean, other than that, I really don't have any closing remarks.
Okay.
I'm so dreaming about it that I'm even dreaming with Molly Wood. Molly Wood was in my dreams last night from CNET. She's like one of the senior editors there, like one of the senior editors, and she's really funny and hilarious. And I don't want to be like her, but I do want her job because I think it's freaking cool and awesome. Maybe that's why I had that dream with her, because I need a job and I want her job. No
okay.
Closing remarks.
On that note, as always, you can find us if you want to communicate with us in any way. You can feel free to email us at olfixpodcast@gmail.com. You can also listen to our podcast and also read our posts that we post on a weekly basis, the issues and things that we find interesting on our blog. You can find our blog at oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. You can also find us on Facebook at The Oral Fix Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Oral Fix Podcast. And you can find us on iTunes, The Oral Fix Podcast, as well as Stitcher Radio at Stitcher.com. And where else can you find us?
SoundCloud. You can find
out.
Well,
you
now
can
we
find
not,
us on
not yeah, soundcloud.com. We changed we opened an account there and now people can find us and listen to us there and actually subscribe to us there if you have a SoundCloud.
So you can listen to us on SoundCloud as well. So there's tons of places. And as always, you know, feel free to, you know, give us, you know, feedback. We like the comments. We like to, you know, hear from you as much as possible about the podcast or anything that we, you know, post on our blog. So we're close to 20,000, you know, views. And so we want to thank all of you for coming back. And, you know, we're still a baby and we're still, you know, trying to, you know, make this thing work. So, the more input and feedback we get from you, the better we can, you know, make the blog and as well as the podcast. So on that note, we're going to leave you with some music as always and wish you all a happy week and all that good stuff. And so we're going to leave you with Penguin Poison. This is the Disco Bloodbath Mega Mix. So until next time, enjoy and be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Toodles.